In the name of God, hello and greetings. Welcome to another educational podcast, this time focusing on sales techniques. In our previous sessions, many of our esteemed business people, merchants and agents reached out asking for more insights on this topic. This story began when we discussed in earlier sessions that there are instances where someone might be selling a product at a lower price, yet their competitors with higher prices report greater sales. Why does this happen? What's the story behind it? This is the subject we want to dive into today with a specialized approach. Also, we've touched on this before. It's essential to emphasize that the criteria for successful sales aren't just about price or quality. A professional salesperson or merchant is well versed in sales techniques and can sell items that others might not even consider or know about it. I hope you listen to this podcast today carefully and take notes for yourself. I cannot stress enough how important it is to jot down the points discussed in these podcasts. You can't just treat this like a radio show. You must listen with full concentration for it to stick in your mind. The first issue to address regarding sales techniques is understanding what steps I need to take. I emphasize that the points discussed are backed by years of experience from a company that has stood on its own feet and after 18 years has achieved significant success. Sales techniques, branding, and brand building are interconnected. It all starts with the signals and leads you receive. The first technique is just this. What do you do with these leads? Smart individuals quickly establish connections with these leads. In our team, we've noticed repeatedly that, for example, on Sundays, there are some leads which interactions because it's day off. And due to various reasons, we might not be as active in initiating contact as we were on previous days. This means our daily activity decreases. And the leads we receive on Sunday might be forgotten by Monday, with many people saying, "We don't even remember requesting these products or service." Why? Because the motivation that led them to reach out as a lead diminishes. Continuing the negotiation becomes much more difficult when someone who initially showed interest start pulling back. If you have 1,000 leads and wait 24 hours to contact them, you'll find out almost half of them don't even remember. And of these who do, many will have not interest, or they have lost their interest. Your experiences various drop-offs. Today, my discussion is about sales techniques, how to engage with leads, how to turn these leads into sales. If I have 10 leads or even 5 potential customers, how should I handle them? These are 5 human beings. How should we interact with them? The first point after receiving a lead or signal is to make contact as quickly as possible. The faster you respond, the fewer drops off you'll have. I've observed this time and again. The longer it takes to make contact, the easier it's for those leads to deny ever filling out a form or even knowing who you are. They might say, "No, it wasn't us," despite having provided specific details about wanting your product. Why? The person felt the need momentarily and you didn't respond promptly, leading them to lose interest. You've heard the saying, "Strike while the iron is hot," right? This means that if you wait too long, you won't get the result you want. The best time to respond is within about 5 minutes of receiving the lead. When you make contact with those 5 minutes, you'll find that over 90% of customers will respond positively. This is the first crucial point, and many people fail to observe it. When I start my workday, the first thing I do is check for new leads. How many new leads have come in? I start contacting each one. Once I've contacted the initial leads, it's time to follow up on previous ones. A question often arises: how many times should I follow up with these leads? That's a topic for another discussion. But I'll tell you that the majority of sales happen after 6 follow-ups. That means taking the person 6, 7, or even 12 times before they fully decided to work with you. In other words, 1 or 2 calls aren't enough. It depends on the level of need the person has developed. If in your first contact you sense that the person is eager and ready to make a purchase, you can proceed with the transaction right then and there. However, if that's not the case and you find out in an initial contact you need to build trust and clarify needs, then you should proceed with the second follow-up. If the customer isn't ready yet, don't push them to make a payment. At this stage, your job is to provide information, guide them through the process, and ensure they understand your value. As we've discussed in previous sessions, you must have a scenario in place. You should only move forward once you've received clear confirmation from the client. Now, a common question is, when should you ask for payment? It is not about the number of calls. It's about how well you've understood and fulfilled the customer's needs and built their trust. And remember, it's often the need that drives a sale more than trust. Sometimes, even if someone doesn't fully trust you, if their need is great enough, they'll still make a purchase. Next, let's discuss the timing of the calls. When should you call? What days and hours are most appropriate? These are all parts of sales techniques. Dear listeners, you need to figure out which times are best for your potential customer. For instance, in some countries, you need to start early, like at 7 or 8 a.m. because of time differences. You must adjust your schedule based on when your customers are almost active. You might argue that your product isn't sometimes that allows you to dictate timing. But if you have something that's in high demand and unique, customers will adjust to your timing. Just like certain doctors who only give appointments at night, and people are willing to wait because they need their services. So consider the timing when making contact. And remember to split your interactions into multiple shorter quality calls rather than one long, drawn out conversation. Keep each call concise, but make sure to follow up frequently. Finally, consider the structure of your conversation after you've provided initial product information and follow up. It's time to move towards finalizing the deal. Timing your final calls is crucial. Always pay attention to the time and the day of your interactions. I hope this podcast has been helpful to you. Until our next session, I wish you all best. Good day.